Glad to have all of you that are visiting with us today. Appreciate you being here, and we hope and trust that we'll just study the Word of God, that we'll preach the truth, and hopefully if you're here and you're not following that wonderful Jesus that we've been singing about this morning, that you'll be persuaded to do so. And just listening what God says about the Son of God. Truly in Matthew chapter 27, in verses 24 through 38, the Bible gives us a wonderful record concerning what this wonderful Jesus has done for us all. But one thing I want you to think about, and that is that in the statement made in Matthew chapter 27, verse 29, that the Bible said they twisted thorns and made a crown. And it put the crown of thorns upon your Lord and my Lord. Who would do such a despicable thing? Who would dare to condescend to take something and then to mock Christ, putting the crown of thorns upon his head? Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. And he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it, his wife had sent to it. Said she had a dream, and in that dream that he was not to do anything with this. Let him go free. And yet, then answered all the people, and Pilate listened to the people. Pilate listened to the multitudes. Answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. Can you imagine that? Parents crying out, let his blood be on us and all of our offsprings. All of our children will stand guilty of it. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, and boy, if we had time today, talking about what all Christ did and what he endured with regards to the scourging, he had scourged Jesus. He delivered him to be crucified. And then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And here's something I want you to observe. They took his clothes off. They stripped him. They stripped our Lord, and they put on him a scarlet robe. Who is this they're doing it to? They're doing it to the Son of God. How can men bow so low to be so bad, do so much evil, especially to the Son of God? Then the Bible says, when they had plaited a crown of thorns, think about that. The crown of thorns. They put it upon his head. They twisted the thorns. They made a crown. And they put the crown of thorns upon the head of Jesus. They put it on his head. And then they put a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And here's something that is despicable. And the Bible says, and they spat upon him. They took the reed and they smote him on the head. Perhaps blood is already falling. From the crown of thorns have been placed on him. Now they take the reed and they hit him. They strike him on the head. And after that they have mocked him. They took the robe off of him and put on his own raiment again. And they led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear the cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Why? And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. The evil that they've done, they sit down. They Now, watch him there. They set up over his head an accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. But my friends, I want you to notice what they did to the head of Jesus. The Bible says they put a crown of thorns upon his head. Not the kind of thorns that we have in Alabama and the southeastern United States. But in a book that tells us something about the thorns that were found in Jerusalem, these thorns were some 3 inches to 3.5 inches long. Imagine it twisting a crown and then making it out of thorns like that and then pulling it down upon the head of my Lord and your Lord. Yes, try to visualize what's going on here in this particular thing. And surely a crown is supposed to be that which one who is in authority will wear. But this crown was made up by people who were mocking Jesus. Think of one upon whom the crown of thorns was placed. It was God's Son. I tell you, will you listen? There were people like us. There were people who, like us, went about making this crown of thorns, putting upon the head of Jesus. And now the Bible tells us that it was Christ Jesus, the Son of God. In Matthew 17, in the Transfiguration, you remember, God settled the question for all time. When Peter said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If Thou wilt, let us build 3 tabernacles, one for Thee and one for Moses and one for Elias." And while he yet spake, there was a bright cloud there was a voice that came out of the bright cloud that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." They put the crown of thorns upon whom? Upon the one that God said, "I'm pleased with." John 1 verse 14, "And the Son of God became flesh among us." John 1 verse 29, "He became the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." But think of the mockery that these people are going through. They laughed at Him. They ridiculed Him, Matthew tells us. What did they do with the reed? The Bible says they took the reed and they smote him on the head, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the pain, the agony that your Lord and my Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, was enduring at this time? He was all doing it, my friends, because He loved us. Sometimes people ask, who really put the crown of thorns upon His head? And sometimes people will answer, it was Pilate. You know what? You're exactly right. Because Pilate had the authority to set Him free. Pilate even said, "Well, I'll have nothing to do with this just man. This man is not guilty." And yet, he tried to excuse himself. He delivered him to be crucified. I want to tell you something. When you ask about the "they," those soldiers did. The Bible says when Jesus was handed over to the soldiers, yes, then the soldiers, the governor, took Jesus to the common hall. They stripped Him of His clothes. They put on Him a scarlet robe, mocked Him and ridiculed Him. People like you and I, people did all of this to the Son of God. Peter tells us, likewise, it was the Jews. In Acts 2 and verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Jesus, the Son of God. Yes, the answer today who did this included not only Pilate, not only the soldiers, but all those people that cried out, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" I ask the question, who then is responsible today? I suggest to you, my friends, that they who reject Jesus like these people would put a crown of thorns upon His head. Yes, when the Bible tells us in Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And if you don't do that, you don't respect Him, it's just like these people who cried out, I won't have Him as my King. Yes, to reject Jesus Christ and reject what He stands for, surely will bring about the anathema of God upon us. In Matthew 28, you've got your Bible. Beginning in verse 18, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. If you don't preach and teach what He taught, what He told us to preach and teach, you're doing like these people, rejecting Him. Just as those that put the crown of thorns upon His head. I suggest to you from Colossians 1 and verse 18 that Jesus Christ, today in religion, has all authority. Anything you do at O'Neill, whatever we do in word and deed, it's got to be done by the authority of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, Colossians 1 and verse 18, and He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Does He have that preeminence in your life? Does He have that preeminence in my life? Or, my friend, are we like these people who would reject Him, turn away from Him, and say, let Him be crucified? In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, the Bible tells us, that is, the Apostle Paul says, God had put all things under His feet and given Him to be head of all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Stop and speak with me. Someone wrote, it is possible for us to mock Jesus today by the way we live. What? It is. When we reject Him, when we do not conform our life to the teaching of His will, Romans 12 and verse 2. When we are more concerned about this old world, when God tells us in 1 John 2, 15 through 17, love not the world, and we do, we're rejecting the commandment of God. And the writer continues, yes, you have mocked Him by feigned worship, and thus you have put the purple robe upon Him. For that purple robe meant that they made Him a nominal king, a king who was not in truth a king, but a mere show. Your Sunday religion, which has been forgotten in the week, has been a scepter of reed, a powerless ensign, a mere shim. You have mocked Him and insulted Him, even in your hymns and prayers. For religion is a pretense with no heart in it. You brought Him an adoration that was no adoration, a confession that was no confession, and a prayer that was no prayer. Is it so with you to reject Jesus? To just go through the form without doing it from our heart? It's surely like these people who put the crown of thorns upon the head of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 17, 1 through 5, God makes it very clear. He's my Son. I want everybody for all time to listen to Him. Whatever He says, that's what He wants done. Secondly, if a person will not follow Jesus, he'd be like these people who had taken the crown of thorns, put it on the head of the Lord. Can you imagine the blood in the face of Jesus? And with the scourging they'd just gone through, how weak His body must have been. Why? Because He was experiencing something. What was He experiencing? He was experiencing for you and me a death upon that cross that every sinner deserved. In the book of Isaiah 50 and verse 6, I'd rather never notice this passage before, but I want you to listen to it very carefully. Isaiah, as he speaks of Jesus, said, I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. Isaiah describes Jesus, describes the action of the Lord, that he was willing to endure such a terrible insult by these people. And think, he was in the creation of mankind. And what are they doing? Rejecting him. They won't follow him like people today. In Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said that if you want to follow him, you got to deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow him. There was a young man that came to Jesus in Matthew 19, verse 16. He said, Good master, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? How many people in America today are asking that question? How many people that you know, family and friends, who are asking that question? And the question is, what shall I do that I may do what God wants me to do, that I may please him, that I may walk with Christ, that I may indeed, when I die, be able to go to heaven and live with God forevermore? What a question. What shall I do, the young man said, that I may have eternal life? He wanted to live forever. And he asked Jesus, and Jesus said, keep the commandments. And he said, which? And Jesus enumerated the commandments. And this man said, I've done all of that. I've kept those things from my youth up. What do I lack yet? I'll tell you what he lacked. He lacked that which he had to give up in order to be a disciple of Christ. Why is it we have more, no one don't have more people today who will, when they ask that question, what shall I do to have eternal life? My friend, when you're told, why won't you do it? Why won't people just obey it? This young man was told by Jesus because he was a rich young man. Jesus said, you go and you sell all that you have. Don't keep anything back for yourself. I mean all of it. And the way to do that is give it to the poor. Give it away. Then you can be my disciple. Who will follow Jesus? Who today will follow him? When you ask the question, what shall I do that I may be a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to hear the answer? Are you really ready to do what he says? Surely, this young man turned away sorrowful, for he was a man of great possessions. Then Jesus said, how hard is it for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven? Oh, my friend, we're living in a wonderful time. We're living in days when we have an abundance of good things. Yes, there are many sorrows and many problems, but look up. God's given us all these wonderful things we have. Why then can't we be faithful to him? Why is it that people like these people who crucified him will not listen to him? In 1 Peter 2 and 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Number two, they who will not follow him are like those people who twisted the thorns and made a crown and put the crown of thorns upon the master, and then they took the reed and they smote his head. Surely we don't be like that. But if you're not willing to follow him, what then? Number three, I suggest to you, my friends, they who will not be a member of the Lord's church are like those people who rejected Jesus, who took that cruel thorn, the crown of thorns, and placed it upon the master's head. You know why? Because Jesus died the death to bring about the church of Jesus Christ. It cost Jesus His blood. When I preach about the church of the Lord, and I tell men and women and boys and girls how important it is to be a member of the Lord's church, the church that Jesus died for, the church of Christ, you're not willing to listen? You're not willing to be a member of it? In Matthew chapter 16, when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God," and you remember how that Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Is the church important? I've heard people say, "You don't have to be a member of the church to go to heaven." Why did Jesus die for it then? Why did He give His blood for it? Why did He say to the elders through Paul, "Take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which He hath purchased with His own blood," Acts 20:28. If it's not important, if you can go to heaven without being in it, you don't want to be a member of it, I want to suggest to you, my friends, this morning, then you can go to heaven without ever being added by the Lord to the church. But you can't, because the Bible tells us there's only one way to get in Christ. One, that is to be baptized into it. I've heard people say, "Don't tell me, preacher, I have to be baptized. I can go to heaven without ever being baptized." They don't understand. They're speaking as if they're not understanding the Bible. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16:15-16. And listen, when those early disciples were preaching the gospel, the Bible tells us in Acts 2:47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Did you hear it? And when people say, "I don't have to be a member of the church of Christ," preacher, why are you saying this? Because God said it. Christ adds those that are baptized into Him to His body, the church, period. I don't find any scripture in the Bible how you can get into the church without being added by the Lord. And He adds only those who are baptized into Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 4, the inspired writer of the book of Ephesians, Paul, and Paul is writing to these Ephesians, brethren, he says, in Ephesians 4, "There is one body and one spirit." Oh, wait a minute. Paul, what did you say? There is one body? Somebody says, "Oh, there's many churches today. It doesn't make any difference what church you're a member of." Friend, it does make a difference. All you have to do is read the Bible. The Bible says there's one, not many. There is one body. We know what that body is because in Colossians 1:18, He is the head of the body, the church. There's one church. There's one body. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Is there one heaven? Yes. Is there only one Lord? Yes. Is there one Holy Spirit? Yes. Well, how many churches are there? One. But these people who made a crown of thorns, placed it on the head of Jesus, rejected Jesus because He was the Son of God. And my friends, if you reject, don't pay attention to His will concerning what makes you a member of the Lord's church, aren't we just like these people? Oh, somebody said, "I'd never do that to my Lord." Well, then why don't you accept just what He says? No wonder Ephesians 1:22-23, God has put all things under His feet and given Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and all. Yes, this Bible tells us that Jesus was willing to die that death and to endure that cross all because He loved us and is willing to suffer for you and I. Some years ago, I ran across a poem that you've heard probably, but I want to read it again this morning. When I was making this lesson up and studying and thinking about it, I couldn't help but be impressed what all Jesus has done for me. How important His life is and why I ought to make sure that I try to live in keeping with His holy will. It's entitled, One Solitary Life. Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied. Turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executors gambled for the only piece of earth, his coat. When he was dead, he was in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 long centuries have come and gone. And today, he is the centerpiece of the human race and leader of the column of progress. Far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerful as has that one solitary life, Jesus Christ. Are we willing to listen to Him? Will we reject Him? He said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, as one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same my friend, are you really ready to be a follower of His? Won't you be a member of the church that He purchased with His own blood? As a member of it, will you not be faithful? Will you not give your life for the one who gave His precious life upon the cross, who endured that day the smiting of the reed on his head? The mockery of the people that cried out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they did it all in ridicule. And to endure pain and agony, and for the spit out of the mouths of those people upon the Master. And he did it all because of me and because of you. The crown of thorns placed upon the head of Jesus. Who did it? Yes, Pilate did. Who did it? Yes, the soldiers did. Who did it? Yes, the Jews did it. And my friend, we do it too. when we, like them, reject Him. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to save us everlasting into heaven above. Oh, why not this morning? If you're in this great assembly, you've never obeyed the Master. Think of the one who wore the crown of thorns. And He wore it because of you, because of me. Do you believe in Him with your heart? I mean wholeheartedly. Are you willing this morning to come before this audience and say you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Yes, as you repent and you confess His name, be buried with your Lord in baptism. Everything necessary in the baptistry with water is here. We're ready to assist you. Won't you do that? And if you're in this assembly and you're like some of the disciples of Jesus, you haven't been faithful, then come back to Him and ask God to forgive you and let us pray with you and for you. You see, we don't want to be like that group. That group that day that twisted the thorns, made a crown, and placed it on the head of the Son of God. We want to truly be His followers and those who worship and serve God. We're singing this beautiful hymn this morning. He's calling for you. He's inviting you. We hope that you'll come while together we stand and while we sing. Jesus.